The right to speak freely is under an existential threat never before seen in American history. As we as a society move more and more of our lives out of the real material world and onto online platforms, it is more important than ever that the internet be protected under the same laws and values as is seen in the real world today. By the way, I'm Mitch Duber, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. The issue of censorship of certain anti-left political views on social media platforms has quickly gone from an issue that was ignored by the media to a most troublesome practice that could end up impacting elections. I'm going to talk about a couple of anti-left-wing commentators that helped Donald Trump get elected in 2016 and how the leftist social media tech companies have been silencing these folks in an effort to impact the 2020 election and destroy free speech as we know it. I'll start with a guy called Gavin McInnes. Now, McInnes was an immigrant from the UK to Canada, who then went from Canada and eventually settled in the United States in the 1990s. Now, McInnes is a conservative commentator who used to be on Fox News. Since then, he's had a lot of other jobs, but most recently, he's been completely silenced by the big tech companies. He was first removed from Twitter, without warning and without reason. Now, on his former show, called Get Off My Lawn, he actually showed the email he got from Twitter, announcing his account termination. And in the email, there was a space where it explains what the user did wrong, in fact, so wrong that it warrants a ban for life. And that space was blank. Literally, it said the reason for account termination, colon, and it was a blank space. And then it went into the third paragraph, which talked about if you try to start up another account, they'll take that one down too and whatever. It literally left him no reason warranting his lifetime ban. Since then, he's also been banned from Facebook and Instagram, neither explaining why they chose. And in the case of Facebook, he's actually been labeled a so-called hate figure recently, a made-up term used by Facebook that nobody knows the actual meaning to, as an excuse to kick further right-wing commentators and political pundits off of Facebook just for interacting with McInnes. Milo Yiannopoulos and Paul Joseph Watson are the two big recent ones. In the case of Milo Yiannopoulos, he'd already been banned from Twitter for something his followers did, something that Milo himself had no control over. And in the case of Paul Joseph Watson, is even crazier because he holds pretty centrist opinions. He's not said anything controversial like the former two already named Milo and McInnes. And Paul Joseph Watson, also called PJW, is actually the only one of these guys to still be on Twitter at this point. Both him and Milo were removed from Instagram and Facebook at the same time overnight. And they weren't even removed for anything that happened on the platforms of Facebook and Instagram. It was for saying nice things about Gavin McInnes on other platforms. Now, to understand this issue more, I need to take you guys back to the beginning, kind of where it started, where the online censorship frontier started to come over the horizon and become a mainstream issue. Now, Milo Yiannopoulos and his ban from Twitter is actually one of the first cases of this, of a well-known figure being banned. And it was a pretty controversial move at the time by Twitter because Milo Yiannopoulos hadn't actually done anything wrong. He'd made jokes about appearances of celebrities. And then his followers decided to go and like harass that certain celebrity on the platform and her mentions and her replies and whatever else. He didn't actually tell them to do that or anything, so he did nothing wrong to break the actual rules. But nonetheless, this happened and nothing ever really happened for a while after that. They kind of left it alone. But since then, in recent years, in places, especially like Europe, the European Union countries, their worry of offending people and being politically correct has now overtaken the right to be able to speak freely and be able to speak out on certain issues and about certain things. This has been coming to a head for a while, especially with Muslim migrants or refugees from the Middle East and the crimes that they've been committing in Europe. There's been a lot of issue with that, and the speech has been speech restrictions in Europe have been getting tighter and tighter on what you can or can't say, especially about these groups of people. And it all came to a head last summer, right around, not much past this time, like right around last June. There's a guy named Tommy Robinson in the United Kingdom. And he has been covering these so-called migrant rape gangs existentially. Now, what these gangs are, they're gangs of refugees. They're called grooming gangs, actually. And what they do is they abduct these little girls and they groom them up to be their slaves, whatever. Basically, their sex slaves, their wives, whatever they want. Just like they do back in the Middle Eastern countries, the third world countries. And in one of these cases, last summer, there's one of these gangs that is being tried. And at the courthouse, Tommy Robinson is there reporting. He's live streaming on some service before he was kicked off of it, of course, because Robinson himself has been banned from, I believe, every platform, every major platform at this point. And so he was reporting on these, and he got arrested. He got arrested for reporting on these things because they decided to put the judge in the case decided to put a reporting ban as Tommy Robinson was reporting on this case. So the judge puts a reporting ban on it, and Robinson goes to jail, being held in contempt of court, because they want to cover up the crimes of these Muslim rape gangs, because they don't want the migrant crisis that's really facing Europe right now to be exposed, so they've been trying to cover that up through things like this. And they actually threw Tommy Robinson in jail for 11 months. They gave him an 11-month sentence right off the bat, like overnight, and they put a reporting ban on Robinson's case, being held in contempt of court, where they, of course, gave him the 11-year sentence. Now, something you probably won't know from the media is that these prisons over in Europe and the UK, which is where we're focusing on right now, are full of migrants and Muslims who've basically tried to, you know, they've acted on Sharia law, and they've acted on different extremist teachings they've been taught and brought over to Europe, and so they've acted on them, of course, and there's lots of rape gangs, there's lots of stabbings and acid being thrown in faces of women by these people. So these prisons are full of migrants from the Middle East, and like in some cases they're 90% Arabic people. And so Tommy Robinson gets thrown in the general population of one of these prisons, and obviously he's not going to be liked very much there. He wasn't liked very much there. And there were many concerns that he was going to be killed in prison. Luckily, he wasn't. He had his sentence commuted after just a few months. But he'd lost a ton of weight. He weighed down around 100 pounds. And he's a pretty beefy guy. He's not real tall, but he's pretty jacked. He's pretty beefy. And he was down weighing around 100 pounds because he'd been beaten so much by these people in prison. So this is where the free speech issue has really come to a head in Western civilization today. And most of that has turned onto online. You can actually be arrested and thrown in jail for certain jokes you make in the UK now. And in Europe, there's actually a guy named Count Dankula. That's like the surname he goes by, the anonymous name, whatever, that he used to have on our social media platforms. I don't think he's on many more, if any. And what he did is he taught his pug, you know, his dog, how to Sieg Heil, basically, as a joke, you know? So the pug would, like, lift his paw up at his head, you know? And he was put to trial for that. He was facing over a year in prison for this joke he had made and put on the internet. That's how bad things have gotten over in Europe. And as in the case of these people being banned from the different social media platforms, these things are starting to make a head over here in the United States. And it is becoming a huge problem because these people have nowhere else to go. And there's a huge left-wing bias in the media and most of these companies. So it's only right-wing guys who are being kicked off, or anti-left people, because there's actually some people who are really towards the middle or even on the left a little bit. But if they differ from the staunchly political left in any way, they're immediately an outcast. And if the first excuse they can find to kick them off these platforms These big companies, they'll do it. They've done it. They actually did it to this one feminist. You know, feminism isn't a very popular position on the right. That's pretty obvious. But she was actually defending feminism on the issue of trans athletes. Because as it is now in most places, you can be a man, biological man, and you can one day wake up and decide that you feel like a woman and you can actually compete against women in sports, which obviously a man has a vast advantage with, you know, muscle, with body type and everything else when it comes to athleticism. So they're at a huge advantage, and this woman was arguing with a trans athlete defender on Twitter, and the feminist, you know, so on the left side of the political spectrum, actually said, tweeted at her, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. Biological, scientific fact. And she was booted off the platform. Fortunately, I don't have her name here. But so it's not only people on the right. It's anyone who differs from the far left political agenda held by these people in Silicon Valley and held by the people that work for them. Now, obviously this needs to stop because the United States is really the last frontier for freedoms in virtually every category. Economic freedom, freedom of speech, freedom to own a gun for self-protection, the right to privacy, and all sorts of other things. So if we continue on this path right now, and it doesn't just have to be, obviously, no time soon is it going to be legislated that we lose free speech. But right now it's society who's taking it away. It's society who's demanding that some of these people be silent for no good reason. And when that continues to happen, when people on one side or the other are silenced, you're not going to hear from them. You're only going to hear from one side. And that is, of course, going to affect political elections and even bigger things, possibly. You're not going to have the best candidate winning. You're not going to be able to hear from them. You don't have that balance that we need in a country which is representative democracy, or republic, constitution, or republic. And those are all things we need to be able to function properly. Now, unfortunately, there's not really a right way to go about fixing this. Now, you could have it legislated that these platforms have to respect everybody's speech and they have to keep people up, no matter how bad it is or how vile, or even if they deserve to be taken down. But even then, that won't necessarily fix society's perception of their augmented reality of the free speech view they have now. They're still going to try and get people they don't like fired from their jobs for saying things. They're still going to try and get their wives to leave them. And I just don't know if there's a right way about going to fix it from the people's standpoint. Now, unfortunately, I don't have the answers here for you. I don't know what we can do to bring people back together to be able to have a conversation. But obviously, we need to change something. We need to be able to do that, because if we can't even have a conversation anymore, what can we do? Thanks for tuning in.